Good morning. It's good to be back with you, having spent some time away from you last week at the American Baptist region of the Evergreen Association. You may know that we belong to a region outside of our geographical location. Evergreen Association is up in Seattle, Washington. And I've got to tell you that they have a really different way of doing things up there. It's really, truly refreshing. And the week prior to this past Sunday, I was with most of you at our annual church retreat, worshiping in the mountains, a gorgeous sanctuary. I only wish that all of us could have been there together. So it's good to be back. This morning I'm going to share with you something that's been on my heart for a long time now. It's been on my heart perhaps most of my life, certainly all of my ministry, has been weighing on me deeply this last year that I've spent with you. So I hope you'll be open to listening to what I have to say. We'll be reading from the book of Genesis and hearing how the story of Jacob wrestling with an angel or wrestling with God. What does it mean to wrestle with God? To wake up in the middle of the night, stirring with anxiety, struggling in the depths of our souls. What does it mean to wrestle with God? We lit our peace candle earlier, moments ago, praying for peace in the world. And I think that some of the wars we face are not the kind of wars that you fight with guns and bombs and soldiers. Sometimes there's a kind of war that goes on inside ourselves. And perhaps those wars are the most difficult to fight because we're the only ones who can fight them. And then there are the kind of wars that get played out in society. The social wars of who is in and who is out. Religion's a pretty good fighter in this war. We know that all too well. History has told us that religion has often chosen who's in and who's out. So we need peace. We need peace all over the world. In the literal battlegrounds of war-torn countries, in the battles with our own society, and in the wars we fight within. So as we listen to the scripture this morning, let us consider how we might bring peace to all the places in need of healing. Genesis 32. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he spent himself that night alone in the camp. The same night he got up and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything he had. Jacob was now alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please, tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. If you read the Daily Pilot yesterday, you know I was asked to respond to the current hot-button issue within the Anglican Episcopal Church, homosexuality. You probably know that this is a topic that is literally tearing the Anglican Church apart. We all know what happened at our neighbor church, St. James Episcopal Church, Newport Beach. They left their diocese and affiliated with an African diocese. You might be following the news and notice that recently they lost a court battle for their property having left the larger diocese. And we know that the Anglican Church is not the only denomination that's wrestling with this question. The Methodists and Presbyterians are also facing a possible split in the church as their two sides vocalize their beliefs and stand with conviction for what they believe is right. Within both of our denominations, the American Baptist Churches and the United Church of Christ, we see that the struggle is alive and well. Now, as I mentioned in the Daily Pilot article, the Anglicans and Episcopalians and Methodists and Presbyterians have different polity than we do. Because we have our congregational autonomy, no one can tell us what to do or what to believe. But even with that, we know that the truth is our denominations also struggle. As you know, I'm ordained in the United Church of Christ, and I couldn't be more proud to be part of a denomination that was the first to ordain an openly gay minister. 2 years ago, I burst with pride, tears of joy, when on July 4th, there was a historical vote in favor of equal marriage for all people, regardless of orientation. But I know that the truth was we lost members in the United Church of Christ. Churches left. But churches joined. New people came. People that didn't find a sanctuary anywhere else. It's heart-wrenching to know that a decision could bring such joy at one end of the spectrum and cause such sadness on another. It's a mixed bag of emotions. As I mentioned, I just returned from a weekend in Seattle with our Evergreen Association of the American Baptist Churches, the USA. You probably know this, but you might not. Our region was formed because a number of churches were asked to leave their region because of their stance in affirmation of the gay community. I am proud of those Evergreen churches. They took a stance that meant that they were no longer welcome in their region. It wasn't easy, but they did what they felt they were compelled to do. But I also know that there are churches within the Evergreen Association, just as there are churches within the United Church of Christ, who would say that homosexuality is a sin, and they don't agree with the stances that those churches made. But what I love so much about our denominations, what I love so much about our church, is that we can continue to be in relationship with one another, even as we disagree. We know it's not easy, of course. We know that even on both sides of the spectrum, there remains hurt and a deep need and ache for healing. Now, you may not know this, and I don't really know if it's true or not, but I've been told by people outside of our congregation that Fairview Community Church was asked to leave the Pacific Southwest region of the American Baptist Churches before it dissolved because we were known as a gay church. You might not know that. I heard it outside of our own congregation. Can you believe that? We're a gay church? It's laughable because we're not the gay church. Somehow we got a reputation that way. And by the way, one of the reasons that the American Baptists here in Southern California pulled away from the larger church is because of the stances that the denomination had made in affirmation of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. But it's funny how we've got this reputation, whether or not we've even said anything about who we are. Because the truth is, we have, and I believe always have been and always will be, an open and loving church. But oddly enough that they should call us a gay church, we've never taken a vote to be officially what the American Baptists call a welcoming and affirming church and what the United Church of Christ calls an open and affirming church. I suppose that we haven't done so because of much of the same problems that the Episcopalians we're reading about, those Methodists and Presbyterians, are also dealing with. We're afraid. We're afraid of what might happen because the last thing that we would ever want to do is hurt someone. We don't want our church to be broken apart. We don't want to disaffect anybody. We don't want to lose a single soul. We know that we don't always agree on everything, but we pride ourselves on not always agreeing and yet being able to coexist with different thoughts, different theologies, different worldviews. The last thing that Fairview Community Church would ever want to do is make someone feel uncomfortable here in our sanctuary, here in our home. We don't want to break our family apart. So we do what most families do. We don't talk about certain subjects. Now, that's not entirely true, because actually, we do talk about it. We've done some incredible programming here, and I believe that the conversation has actually been going on for decades. In fact, I know it has been going on for decades. The first letter requesting our church to address this topic came to the church in the 70s. But like most families, we think it's easier not to talk about it, not to come out all the way. You know, I think about it, and I think perhaps one of the most difficult things about being gay is that for a society, for the most part, we assume that everyone is heterosexual. So a homosexual has to come out as being different from the assumed status quo. And it's not a one-time thing. It's not like once you do it, you get some sort of a flag that constantly waves above your head. It's a process. A continual, lifelong process that reoccurs on a daily basis. For the lucky ones, their families are supportive, their friends are accepting, and for those really lucky ones, those really fortunate few, churches are affirming. But all too often, families are shocked, often disapproving, even withholding love. And sadly, instead of being a sanctuary, the church has too often fallen back upon a few verses and thousands of pages of scripture. And it turns its back on real healing out of what I can only imagine must be fear. At worst, churches condemn. Too often, the choice to remain silent only furthers that condemnation despite the intention behind the silence, rather than actively choosing healing. I can only imagine the kind of struggle that coming out must be like. First comes that struggle with identity. Who am I? We all have to ask that question of ourselves. But suddenly, why am I different? Why did you make me this way, God? Why can't I just be normal like everybody else? It's a wrestling with God. And not everyone has confidence knowing that they're going to make it. The sun rises the next morning. Jacob was struggling with his own identity. As you know, he was about to meet up face to face with his brother Esau. As I mentioned, who years earlier he'd swindled away his birthright. And so Esau was pretty angry. Jacob feared what would happen when they finally met up again. So he sent that gift ahead to pacify him, hoping his bloodthirsty brother wouldn't kill him. Jacob was scared for his life. He wasn't the man he had espoused himself to be. He'd tried to outwit his brother to claim that father's blessing, but the reality was he was a fraud, pretending to be something that he wasn't. And he was scared. He had no idea what would happen when he finally locked eyes with his brother again. Would he be accepted? Would his brother meet his eyes with pools of forgiveness, lovingly welcoming him back into the family? Or would Esau remain steadfastly cold and shut him out, perhaps even forcing him to death for what he'd done? So Jacob lay down that night, exhausted, scared, regretting who he was and what he'd done, so frightened for what tomorrow might bring. He had no idea that the real fight was not going to be with his brother, but he'd be wrestling God all night long. Jacob fought with this man, this angel. At the end, he says, "I have seen God face to face." And we know that this struggle was more than one of just man on man, human on human. Jacob wrestled with God, and he lived to tell. What does it feel like to wrestle with God? So many of us do it. So many of us can tell. Ask Jalen Braden, because he has a story that rivals Jacob's. He began attending Desert Stream Ministries, an ex-gay ministry that maintains that they can heal homosexuality. At 15 years old, he was the youngest boy they'd ever admitted. He writes, "Initially, I was on a spiritual high that I took to mean that I had God's leading and blessing in this area. I knew," he writes it in capital letters, "I knew that Jesus could and would heal me of my homosexuality. As the years passed, that certainty faded, but the conviction that homosexuality was a terrible sin remained. I was determined to stick it out, no matter what the cost. As I was nearing my 15th year, I had already been struggling with depression for more than 5 years. And though I wasn't literally suicidal, I was too chicken, I prayed daily that God would send me a fatal accident to end my struggle and pain." He prayed that he'd get hit by a car, lightning would strike. And he wrote this prayer: "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And please annihilate the sin. Change me from the outside in. When I look into the mirror, I pray I will not see the queer." God and Jalen struggled for those 15 years. Jalen seemingly losing the battle during the 5 years when the light didn't seem to shine. And finally, Jalen, like Jacob, opened his eyes and saw that dawn had come. And he was alive. So Jalen finally let go and let God and accepted himself once and for all. Accepted himself for the gay man that he was, realizing that if he could only do that, if he could only accept himself, he would see that he wasn't fighting God at all. God wasn't fighting with him. But wrestling with God seemed like the only choice at the time. "Make me different. Make me straight." He fought and fought and fought. And finally, he realized that like Jacob, he was blessed. He wrestled and won. Friends, I know that wrestling with God over the topic of homosexuality is never easy. I can't imagine what it must be like. Coming out, even in the most accepting of environments, continues to be a struggle. And I'm ashamed that the church as an institution has not been a place of healing. Maybe that's because coming out as an accepting church isn't easy. I know that. Just as the lonely lesbian doesn't want to tell her mother she's gay because she fears she'll be an outcast, the church fears the same. It's not easy. There are tough questions. There are fears of isolating people who are going to disagree with us. We fear putting anyone in an awkward situation. We don't want to fight. We don't want to fight like we see the fight that's being played out in the media by the Episcopalians. In the small local church, I know that the stakes are higher. The last thing that we want to do is divide the church. So we do choose that don't ask, don't tell model. But I have to tell you, my friends, that by not standing up in affirmation of all of God's children We're not healing the millions of Jalens who have been wrestling with God and fear that they're not accepted, fear that they're not gonna make it through the night. How many people have left the church because they feared they were going to be condemned to hell? How many people have ended up wounded by a religion that teaches hate the sin, but hates the sinner and only causes that poor sinner away, wondering why God causes them to sin despite all those prayers to be otherwise? How many people will wrestle with God and take their own lives because they lost the battle? It's not easy, and I'm not going to pretend like it is. We're wrestling too. We're wrestling to make sense of our role as people of God. Wrestling to make sense of what we think all of this is about. Wrestling with those often quoted verses from Leviticus and Romans, and wrestling with Jesus' words of loving our neighbor. We're wrestling. We're wrestling with God for answers. But here's the thing. Wrestling gets tiresome. So I was writing this sermon. I found it striking that the word rest is in the middle of the word wrestle. Maybe we can find some rest in our wrestling. I think that as the sun rises in our hearts, we, like Jacob, will find that we've seen God face to face. And it's because of this struggle that we can appreciate the new light. Maybe in the struggle, in this wrestling, we realize that the truth is we're not wrestling with God. It's us that's doing all the squirming. We're the ones making it so hard. We're the ones that are so worried about what other people are going to think. We're the ones that think that staying silent will be the path of least resistance. Yet we don't realize that there is resistance in silence. Coming out to ourselves isn't easy. Finding our identity is always a struggle, no matter what your orientation is. Coming out as a gay person, or even sometimes coming out as an ally, can be a lifelong struggle. But the peace comes in knowing what Jacob and Jalen both know. They made it through the night. They saw the light of day, and having seen God face to face, they became new people, new lives. Jacob is given a new name, that new identity. There continues to be a struggle. Jacob comes out wounded. Sometimes you do. But the realization that wrestling with God doesn't need to be such a fight brought relief to Jacob, gave Jalen a second chance, gives millions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people new leases on life, and it gives us the assurance that we can be brave, that we can struggle with difficult questions. And we might even realize that we've agonized so much in worrying that the reality of the light of day isn't so bad after all. So Fairview Community Church, I'm asking you to wrestle with the tough questions. How can we be the people of God? How can we be a welcoming, affirming church that really is open to all people? This is a conversation. I want to continue it. I think one way is by joining me this afternoon at 12:50 at the movie theater in Irvine to watch For the Bible Tells Me So, to hear some of those stories, to see the faces. And then join me for a discussion afterwards. Call me. If you didn't like the sermon, tell me. Tell me what you're struggling with. I want to know. This is not a church that wants to leave anyone behind. Friends, I don't know where this journey is going to lead us, but what I do know is that we're all on it together. We're a family of God. We unite here in this sanctuary of love. And here in community, we live out our faith with each other. We question. We agree. We disagree. We cry sometimes. We laugh a lot. We sure like to party. We mourn. Sometimes we fight. A lot of times we find healing. But in all of this, we learn what it means to love and to be loved. And we do it together. Journey on, Fairview. Amen.